Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's just such a joy to be here with you this Sunday morning as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. The first is we've got a real special event tonight that I want to direct your attention to. It's our Hanging of the Greens, which is the chance for us to come and turn this sanctuary into a fitting habitat for our Christmas celebration, our Advent and Christmas celebration. Afterwards, Lily and I made a big vat of chili yesterday that we'll be heating up and serving to everybody afterwards. So it's just such a special time. It really does. It makes for a joyful beginning to a joyful season. So I'd like to invite everybody to come and join us tonight. That's at 4 o'clock today, and I'll start serving the chili as soon as y'all get done. So there'll be no waiting. Our Sunday night Bible study has been canceled tonight because of that. But I do want to direct your attention to that because that's such a sweet and special fellowship. That's Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, typically not tonight, though. So be mindful of that. Next week, please note that we'll hold a brief congregational meeting with one purpose, to elect elders and deacons for the coming year at the end of our worship service next Sunday, December 1st. So please be advised of that. Poinsettia order forms are available in our Narthex and Ed building today, and the deadline for ordering is December the 1st. Also note that we have three wonderful musical events coming to Cook's in December. December 8th at 2:30 here in the sanctuary, we will have a Christmas organ recital featuring three organists, including our own organist, David Hutchins. So please come for that. And December 21st, 2 o'clock here in our sanctuary, the Queen City Ringers will present their holiday concerts. We've had a nice relationship with them over the last couple of years, with Clayton and Bonnie serving in that. And so we invite you to come to that special holiday concert on the 21st. And then to double down on the 22nd during our 10 a.m. worship service, Cook Choir will present their Christmas cantata to bring us good news of a baby Jesus being born through song. So we invite you to come to those three musical events. Please note the beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in memory of the Scott B. McClure family by Susie and Corky McClure. Now, we've got several announcements aside from this. We'll begin with Mike. Oh, Tony. Good morning.
Family in need or families. And the men of the church weigh big on sponsorship for this. And we were just kind of wondering what to do because we reached out to the elementary school that we've helped their families that are in need for the last few years and got no reply back. And then Tony came along, Tony Thompson, and presented this family that is in dire need to us. So we decided to help them, and Tony's going to tell you more about it.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Oh. Some of you might not know me. I'm Tony Thompson. I'm related to the Quinns, Sinise, Ginger, Vera, Jim, several Thompsons here. I had to write this down. I've been a member for almost 20 years here. And thank you again, Fred and Dale. No, Dale's my boyfriend's name. So I can remember Dale Lucky. I'm sorry?
Tony said you can have him.
I actually had to change my boyfriend's name in my phone because one time I sent Dale a text that was for the other Dale. I'll be home soon, you know. Anyway, for many years, I have sponsored foster children for Christmas. I used to live in Stanley. I did them for the Least of These Carolinas, and I did them for the Dallas ministry when I lived in Dallas. But last year, I met a friend, Angela, in my book club, and she is she's basically a social worker, and she told us about a family of five four siblings, ages 10 to 17, that are being taken care of their stepbrother, who's now 20. The home situation was domestic violence and substance addiction. So the oldest brother, who was then 19, did not want the children to go into the foster service, so he is now taking care of them. Spent a little bit over a year. He has been able to get food stamps, but I don't know if you guys are aware, but food stamps do not cover hygiene products, paper products like toilet paper, paper towels. They don't cover cleaning supplies. So food stamps, while it does help him with the food, it doesn't help him with his other needs. Christmas, of course, is a financial situation that he really needs help with, especially since he works a job that only pays $14 an hour. And this is while he is taking classes through Wingate College, which I was very impressed with that. It really tore at my heartstrings because, you know, new tires for the car or someone being sick. I mean, he just has to pray that nothing like that comes up. And by the way, the oldest child, female, 17, is already looking at colleges. I can't remember the college that she is looking at. I think it's Salem. I can't remember. She would like to be a teacher. And it's the hope and prayer of the guardian as well as the oldest brother, the one who has taken them in, that she does go off to college and pursue this as well as become a good example for her other siblings who unfortunately would like to go back to their parents. And that is something that the child is trying to prevent. Because again, the parents are addicts. One of them has been incarcerated. So so they are asking for gift cards, or rather Fred said gift cards would be the best choice. So either Walmart or Target. And for the next three Sundays. And then the members of the church, probably Fred and myself, and then, of course, the social worker will go present them to them. And, again, I myself, I'm going to help them monthly. So, I mean, this just really tore at my heartstrings. But, anyway, anything that you all can contribute would be gratefully appreciated, even just prayers for them. And unfortunately, I can't give you their names. So, but, you know, anything that you can do would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
I did talk to Cheryl, and she said it'd be okay to just put these gift cards in the offering plate, and she'll collect them all for us. So we've got that. And it'll be the next three Sundays that we'll collect. Thank you. And keep them in your prayers.
Thank you. Good morning, church family. I come to you with some great news, but first I want to tell you about all of the happenings that the property committee has done this past year. If y'all hadn't been paying attention, I'm going to run through a few lists. When we first start the year, we prioritize a couple things. This year, we had three major goals that quickly jumped to eight that we've gotten involved in this year. One was the cleanup of the road work along the side of the street. The second has been some tree work that we've had to have done. And this is probably going to be a continuing work because our trees are getting old and we probably need to start budgeting for this work in the future. Another project that came about was the sidewalk repairs. You notice out front that the sidewalk has been patched. Another part over here has been patched out by the cemetery. And these are all paid for by internal works of the church. Different groups paid for this work. Our volunteers did this. The next three projects We had the sound equipment and cameras have been installed. This is all done by private donation. We've got a new sign out front that we had put in. This was done by private donation. The Fellowship Hall repairs, while the insurance made the repairs, we still had a lot of upfits we needed to do to the parlor itself. That was covered by private donation. Another task that came to hand, I don't know if anybody noticed, that all of the trailers in the lot have been finally moved out by Presbytery. We've got one more trailer that belongs to an individual. He's ailing right now, but as soon as he's on the mend, he's going to remove that trailer. Over the summer, we've had another ongoing project, and I don't know where this is going to end up. We're going to need some help on this one. We developed a sinkhole out in this other parking lot. The county has admitted that they have a hole in their drain pipe outside, but claiming no fault on their own and does not feel that they are obligated to help us make the repairs. So we're going to need help with this endeavor. The last and major event, and what the good news is today I want to present, is some years back before COVID, the congregation voted for us to sell the property next door. And we diligently, me and Dale, started this project trying to find a buyer. Well, we realized we were kind of getting in over our heads because every time we got a buyer, there was more questions kept asking. If y'all remember, we came to you a while back and asked for more land. Well, we finally have gotten a potential buyer. So we want to next week, next Sunday at 1 o'clock, we want to present the real estate agent and the potential buyer for information on your behalf of what is being planned to go over there. We really need y'all there. We need your support and we need your feedback to let us know if this is the plan we can continue with. Because if it don't, we're going to stop. But we're to a point right now, they need answers, and we need to give them answers. But this is a high priority next Saturday, or next Sunday at 1 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. We need everybody's participation and be open-minded what's going on. Another part of this is not of our control and not of the potential buyer's control. The government has stepped in and starting to dictate what we can and can't do to our property. So the potential buyer wants to explain what is going on and what they need from us to make this deal go through. So please be here next Sunday at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Those being the announcement, let us turn our hearts and minds toward the worship of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
We will enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
He forgives our sins, heals our diseases, and crowns us with love and compassion.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
We will give thanks to his holy name forever and ever.
Let us continue in prayer. Almighty and gracious God, we gather in your presence with hearts overflowing with gratitude today. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift, the one who forgives our sins, heals our brokenness, and satisfies us with good things. As the heavens declare your glory and the skies proclaim the work of your hands, so we lift our voices to magnify your holy and everlasting and perfect name. Teach us today to rejoice always, to pray continuously, and to give thanks in every circumstance, for this is your will for us in Christ Jesus. Let our worship be a fragrant offering, a sacrifice of praise that honors you, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds as we set our eyes upon you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Be glorified, we pray, in this time of worship, O Lord, for you alone are worthy of all of our praise, now and forevermore. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I invite you now to rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn.
Thank you.
overlooked an important announcement this morning. Unfortunately, I have to, with Christian sympathy, announce the passing of Frank Norris. Frank passed away early this morning, so we'll be praying for Joyce and for that whole family. The Bible teaches us that if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But the scriptures go on to inform us that if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. And so it's with humility and with faith that we step forward to confess our sins corporately, expecting not to encounter God's condemnation, but instead to embrace the reality of God's amazing grace, forgiveness that comes despite us. So let us confess our sins together using the words in this morning's bulletin. Dear Father, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart, nor loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have been impatient, ungrateful, and quick to forget your blessings. Forgive us for our sins, cleanse us from unrighteousness, and renew a right spirit within us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, I want to declare to you the most wonderful truth. The most wonderful truth that goes deeper than anything that we can imagine, down to the very level of creation itself. The good news is this. Despite our fumblings with trying to be perfect, we still fall flat on our faces in sin. But we rejoice in a God that has chosen to forgive us from it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us is the great good news. And we know and embrace by the waters of our baptism that we've been showered with an irrepressible blessing. The blessing of forgiveness that surrounds us body, mind, soul, and spirit every day. The forgiveness of Lord that we so richly need. The forgiveness of Jesus which cries out to us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven this day and forever. Now let's take a moment to sing what we believe. Be seated, and at this point we'd like to invite the children and the youth to come down for a time that's just for them. Hey girls, all right, Here they come. All right. May we all be thankful for counting coins, right? Now, guys, this is the easiest question I'm going to ask you this week. So this is the easiest question you're probably going to get asked this week. What is coming up on Thursday?
Well, I don't know.
Thanksgiving. That's right. They've got it. It's Thanksgiving. That's the day we set aside for giving thanks to God for all that we've got. So I want to go around just real quick and everybody tell me something they're thankful for and not be humorous to the older kids. Well, you could be a little humorous. Go. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for?
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad. Yeah, you.
Thankful for my friends.
Thankful for your friends. Now, what did you say?
Pets.
Thankful for your pets? Okay.
And Lucy will say, meow.
Oh, yeah. The little cat goes meow. That's something to be thankful for, yeah. No, you're thankful for your mommy. Well, of course. All right. Maggie the cat. Okay.
Electronics.
All right. An honest answer. I love it. This is a week we give thanks, and we're going to learn to whom we give thanks in the sermon. But I heard something really interesting in Sunday school this morning. Who wants to take a guess at what exactly, if they were to take out all of the elements and the parts of us, and sell us what we would be worth? I'm talking about all of the nitrogen and carbon and the hydrogen that make up our bodies. If we were to put it all on the market from our bodies, how much would we be worth?
Probably a couple billion.
No, I mean just the materials, the raw parts of us, not the organs. It's a surprising answer. If you broke us all down, guess how much we'd be worth. Thankfully, I thought it was worth a couple of dollars, but today in Sunday school, we learned you're worth, in materials alone, about $1,000, right? Now, $1,000, it sounds like a ton of money, but as you get older, what do you think? $1,000 is barely a new set of tires on your car, right? The good news is that we're worth far more than that. Because Jesus loves us. And we know that Jesus loves us because why? We know that he died on the cross and went to heaven to atone for our sin. And we know that he's there with Jesus, with God even now, watching out over us. And because of that, we're worth more than anything in this world. We are invaluable. That means there is no price tag upon which you can put. Why? Because God loves us. And we know that because of Jesus Christ. And that's whom we're thankful for this Thanksgiving season more than anything else, that God loves us and we know that through Jesus. So let's go to God in prayer now. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus, just as we thank you for all the things in our lives.
Just as we thank you for all the things in our lives.
You are precious and holy.
You are precious and holy.
And we are grateful for your love. In Jesus' strong name we pray.
In Jesus' strong name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. Enjoy your day.
Thank you, Lord.
Come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. So let us seek out the Lord now in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just come to you thirsty to hear your living water proclaimed, Father God. Pour out your spirit upon our reading and proclaiming of the word, that we with the deepest thanks might find your love being paramount in our life. Enable us by word and by proclamation to reach new heights in our love and adoration of you so that we might know you fully, love you completely, and serve you with everything by sharing your good news with the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'll be reading Psalms 103, 1 through 14 in the Pew Bible. It's 595 or on the screen behind me. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteously and just for all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we were founded. He remembers that we are dust.
Our New Testament reading is a brief reading from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. I read from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. I invite you now to hear the word of our Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanksgiving is, without question, my favorite holiday. In fact, you can go, it's not up yet, but it will be soon. You can come to my front yard. You know how everybody has inflatables for Halloween and Christmas? Ha! I've got one for Thanksgiving. It's a giant turkey. And I put that thing out front of my house and let my freak flag fly, so to speak, right? I love Thanksgiving, and it comes from a particular event that happened year in and year out in my life. I look back with such amazing thankfulness, but almost every Thanksgiving I ever celebrated was in my Aunt Judy's house until about 5 years ago when they sold the place and moved into a retirement center. Y'all, as an admitted foodie, a former chef, I come from a family that flat out knows how to cook, right? It began with the turkey. You see, my uncle, he was in the poultry business. So he had access to not only good turkeys, but heritage breeds that you couldn't find in the grocery store that were that tasty. And so he would take one of those and he'd brine it for, I think he did a couple of days. I mean, he went all out into that turkey, and man, you tasted it because it was moist and tender. We didn't even have to fry it. It was so good. But it wasn't just the bird. I mean, everything was done to the nines. There was a sweet potato casserole, and even though I admitted today in Sunday school I'm not a big fan, this thing was so sweet you just had to like it. It was eating a dessert. It was redolent with maple syrup and tons of marshmallows. I can taste it now. And the green bean casserole, y'all, they didn't take out just a box of French's onions or whatever. They made it from scratch with a real bechamel sauce, and it was delightful. Now, every year there was bound to be a miss or two. Some years the boys who took over cooking the pumpkin pie would a little underbake it. One year, I remember it was a big scandal. My Aunt Leslie decided to go out on a limb and make some Brussels sprouts, and the things had so much vinegar in it, they made your mouth pucker. I can remember. That one wasn't so great. But it was just this amazing, outpouring of food is what I remember first and foremostly, just how good it was. And even though now I'm the cook and I have a culinary degree, so I should do okay, I don't take the kind of time that my aunt and my mom took into making what they made. I just don't. And it comes across not as good. And for that, my relatives are less than, my relatives are, I have to deal with it, and I'm sorry for them. They don't get the same wonderful thing. But lest I think about only the food, I'll never forget when one of my children was much younger, they had gotten a taste of this event. And starting at about Halloween, that child would start wondering, is it Thanksgiving time yet? Is it Thanksgiving time yet? Is it Thanksgiving time yet? And it wasn't. You've got a whole month to go between most Halloweens and Thanksgiving. But I realized he didn't care about the sweet potatoes. He didn't care about that heritage roasted turkey or the perfect gravy or the amount of desserts that we had was so large that if you got every single one of them put on a plate, they barely fit. It was that good, and it was called an Aunt Anne platter because that was my mom, and she always wanted one of every dessert. That was good times and good memories. But Ben didn't have that in his mind at that age. He wasn't thinking about the food. He was thinking about the deeper blessing, the coming together and getting to see his cousins and his extended family together all in one place and the fun we would have going outside and maybe throwing around a football or climbing a tree after the meal and before the dessert was served. Yeah, nowadays I look back on those memories with a different heart. You know, of course, my sister and my father have now departed, and they won't be joining us for Thanksgivings anymore, and that leads a certain bittersweetness to every holiday, which I'm sure many of you experience as you long for loved ones that aren't with you during the holidays. And yet, even still, even then, with all of the difficult things that can happen, I'm grateful for the memory of having a family that was non-argumentative, that we could just simply come and celebrate with food and fellowship the love that existed in our family, which was always attached and anchored to Jesus Christ, which was one of the blessings of our family. Even when I wasn't a Christian, I knew that my aunt and all my family had gone to church that day. They were Episcopalians, and the Episcopalians used to have a service on Thanksgiving Day. I don't know that they do anymore. They used to there at St. John's. The blessing, the deeper blessing, was beyond the food. The deeper blessing was that family that loved the Lord, that was there, thick or thin. Because some years, as I've said, when you've lost loved ones, or maybe you've lost a job, or just been singed at the doctor with a bad negative test result, you might find what Philippians says to us a little insulting. We're supposed to, with prayer and thanksgiving, take everything to the Lord. If it were only there that we heard that, we might be able to avoid it. But again, in 1 Thessalonians, we hear it again, give thanks in all circumstances. So how do we do that? How do we get at being thankful all the time? It's a difficult thing to do, especially in a society that's pulling us further and further away from a deeper understanding of thanksgiving. You know, I remember trying to get a book for one of my kids that dealt with thanksgiving, and just being amazed that all these kids' books, none of them even mention God. It was all this generic thankfulness that we're supposed to muster this time of year without any real attachment to any real God. I finally found one book that dealt with God, but it was that generic fuzzy God that is so embraced by culture, where you can just say the word but not attach it to anything real, like Jesus Christ or his sacrificial death for us and for our salvation. And so we've got a little bit of a Thanksgiving problem, if you ask me. And it's not surprising. It's sandwiched between two commercial powerhouses. Of course, we've got on one side Halloween, in which everybody's anxious to go out and buy the best new costume and accumulate the best new decorations. And then, of course, on the other side of it, we've got Christmas. And we love Christmas for the right reasons here, I'm sure. But I think we can all recognize that Christmas has a secular variant that is detached and removed from Jesus Christ. In fact, years ago, one of my congregants got a kick out of it at a Hallmark store. She noted that there was two sections of Christmas cards, one that was very clearly marked as religious and the other that was marked as non-religious. How you could come up with a non-religious Christmas card is beyond me, but they're done. And if you want one, I guess you can go to Hallmark and go to the non-religious section. The Pilgrims and the Puritans were themselves a little bit skeptical of Christmas because of its inclination toward secularity. The earliest Puritans really didn't do that much at Christmas, but they made a big deal of thanksgiving. They made a big deal of giving thanks to the Lord in all circumstances, which is so hard to do, as I've said, when there's difficulty on the horizon and when there is illness or at your foot, you might find it very difficult to rejoice in God. But we're given some great cues by our Bible. We're given some wonderful stories that we can look at and begin to imagine what deeper thankfulness would look like. What does it mean to go beyond just being grateful for the things in our lives, but instead be grateful for the entirety of our existence? What does it mean? Well, we look in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and I apologize about using my phone this morning. It's gotten to the point where the print in the Bible is too small for me to read. So I confess it openly as I read to you from the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The story is a significant one that comes. Leprosy was a terrible disease to have had at the time because not only did it exact its physical symptoms, the redding and the deterioration of your own skin and flesh, but it came with a social cost as well because there was such a great fear of transmission. If you had leprosy, you had to leave your home and exist on the far margins of the town with the other people that were considered unclean. It was a very difficult and arduous lifestyle to maintain, one that came, as I said, with not only the physical detriment of the disease, but with the social ostracism as well. And so you can imagine the joy when these men, hearing of Jesus' miraculous ability to heal, see him coming. They say, "Master, Lord, have mercy on us," to which Jesus heals all 10. He instructs them to go to their priest to certify the cleansing, and they are all cleansed. These 9, these others that we don't hear anymore about, were undoubtedly thankful for the change of their circumstances. They undoubtedly found themselves thankful to a generic fuzzy God that worked and looked out after them. But only one recognized that there was a deeper blessing at play. Only one received that deeper blessing by returning with joy and thankfulness to the one that healed him. That's where we find that our change in thanksgiving can occur. We can go from being thankful about things which sometimes are there to being thankful in all seasons and circumstances by understanding that the real and true blessing of this season or any other is in fact God in Christ, known to us through Jesus, who came and took flesh and even took servant flesh and died on the cross for us and for our salvation. When we understand that our thankfulness has a particular home, there is a God to whom we are thankful, and we're thankful for things beyond our immediate noses. We're thankful especially for the salvation that Jesus Christ has brought into our lives. It can change us. It can make us joyful in times of distress. It can make us thankful even in all circumstances, because one blessing can never be taken away from us, and that's the blessing of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. You know, as I mentioned last week, I was blessed to be at a funeral a few weeks ago. Not again blessed that the person passed, but blessed by the service that existed afterwards. And in that service, the preacher mentioned that he had a favorite word in that, and that kind of perked my ears up. And he said, "The word is so. For God so loved the world." If you want to look and see how that word changes, next time you're with someone you love, don't just tell them that you love them. Take the time to say, "I so love you." It adds an extra mention, and it's rightful because that's how deep God loves us, and we know that through Jesus Christ. We know this God that is himself an eternal blessing at all times in our lives. And we can look back and see the thankfulness of people of God in the past and understand how their thankfulness came at difficult times. In 1 Chronicles 17, we're given the story of David, who is desirous to build the temple for God. He is filled with the glory of God and wants to pour that out into something tangible. And in fact, the prophet Nathan at first countenances the idea that David will build the temple. But then in a dream, Nathan is told that that is not to be David's part. David is then told, despite his earlier yes, no. This would have been a grand project, a dream that was laid on David's heart. And there in an instant, it was removed. And yet what David does next is telling. He lifts up to the Lord praise, not for what he didn't receive, but he lifts up to the Lord praise for who God is in God's self. He praises God's majesty, his provision, his love. Even there at the precipice of not getting what he wanted, David was content. Also, as we read the book of Habakkuk, we realize that this particular prophet came at a time of great distress. Habakkuk is writing after Josiah, a good and righteous king, has died, and his sons are a complete mess. Not only that is the internal nation in a disarray, but also standing on their doorstep are the Babylonians waiting to cart them off into exile. It's a bad time. It's a time that nobody wants to come into. And yet some of the most clearest words of praise fall forward from his mouth. In verse 17 and 18 of chapter 3, Habakkuk writes, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." Habakkuk knew that what's to be thankful most for is not what is immediately available to us, but instead we're to seek and find the deeper blessing of God, who is himself sufficient for us, for our salvation, for our ongoing continuance, for our daily lives. God is sufficient and God is loving. He crowns us with his love and compassion. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of blessed communion, a time that we see the sacrament made real for us in the eating and drinking of this God's greatest blessing. Today we have two types of bread, regular bread, and then in the muffin tins you will find gluten-free bread. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this opportunity to be gathered, to be blessed by your meal of communion. Be with us, Father God, just as you've been with Christians throughout the ages. We pray and thank you for the blessings of creation, which you spoke into existence by your mighty and holy and everlasting word. We thank you for the gift of salvation coming to us through Jesus Christ, who bore our sins on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, the sustainer of both of our faith and our lives. We thank you for his presence. We thank you for his coming to bless this, the fruit of the vine and the bread that you have prepared for us. We thank you now, asking that you would make this truly a sacrament, taking to us all that we need in this wonderful sacrament of our Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, concluding with the prayer he taught us, praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." On the night of his arrest, Jesus Christ took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke the bread, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Every time you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me." Friends, every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we declare the saving presence of our Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again in glory. So I invite you now to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. This is the bread of life. Cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you've fed us in this sacrament, both physically and spiritually. Nurture us to a complete and full understanding of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Let us continue now in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for all that you do for us. And Father God, we thank you for the deeper blessing of Jesus Christ that allows us to know our worth, which is inestimable because you have shown us love through Jesus Christ. Gracious God, we recognize that there are still things that we encounter that bring us difficulty, sorrow, sadness, incompleteness, and we lift those up to you, mindful of your words, to bring you all things. And so we do so this morning, remembering before you this day Frank Norris and praying for Joyce and the whole Norris family upon his passing. We pray for Gene Oates, Father God. We pray for Patty Brown. We pray for Penny Love. Heavenly Father, we pray for Nancy Smith. We pray for Ronnie Peterson. We pray for Ellen Jackson. We pray for Sharon Gilmore. We pray for the many flood victims of Hurricane Helene and all of the many others that are in need of your intercessory prayer. Father God, we pray today for safe travels for our families at Thanksgiving, whether that be us or them. Keep us all safe until we can be here again. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. At this point, you can either meditate on the time a little bit, or you can give, choose to give electronically using one of the means available. Please rise. Don't forget tonight at 4 o'clock for the hanging of the greens and chili dinner. That's such a special time. Please be here to join us for that. And be mindful this Thanksgiving to be thankful and in great gratitude for the deepest blessing, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to whom we owe all things. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forever. In Christ's name. Amen.
You shall go.